It's been great to be here, and it has been a marvellous experience. I know I'm not just speaking for myself, I'm speaking for all the other Irish ladies. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. We wouldn't have missed it for anything in the world. Our hearts have been blessed. We asked God to speak to us when we were here, and God most certainly has done that. And to him we give the praise and the glory. I was speaking with one of our group last night, and both of us felt in our hearts that the work here wasn't finished. So we believe there's something more that God wants to do. Maybe you're holding back. I don't know what reason or for why you would be holding back, but maybe you are. And God has something he wants to say and he wants to do in your life and in your heart. But I would say to you, don't leave this campus until you know that you've got all of God and that he's got all of you. And we trust that as you go forth into this world, whatever part or whatever area God has placed you, that what you have learned and what you have experienced at this prayer advance, that you will take it home with you and you'll put it into practice and put it into use, that you're not going to come back here next year seeking the same things that you sought last year, because you're already holding on to the things that you received here. And you're going to come back seeking new things and even greater things. But whatever God has said to you and whatever God has done in your life, ladies, make sure you don't lose it as soon as you leave this place, because that's very easy. The enemy, as Laura was saying, he loves to hold on to his territory. And he doesn't let go very easily. And as soon as you get out of the atmosphere of the prayer advance, the enemy will strike. Make no mistake in believing otherwise. And what you need to do is you need to learn to rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. And you need to remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you need to remind the devil that he's a defeated foe. Amen. Friends, don't be afraid to talk to the devil. You're a defeated foe. Tell it to him. And remind him that Satan to Jesus must bow. Amen. And remind him that we are told, the Lord says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if you've been built up in this prayer advance, you determine in your heart that you are not going to lose any ground when you leave this place. But that you're going to go from strength to strength. And you are going to make a difference in this dark and needy and evil and wicked world. Let us just bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can come in a manner such as this, that we still have the freedom to meet and to be able to worship God. Father, we thank thee that we can say that God has been speaking and God has been dealing with our hearts. And Lord, we pray now that you will come and that you will hide your word deep in our hearts, far away from the snatch of the evil one. We pray that the Spirit of God would move from seat to seat and from heart to heart. Because, Lord, as our faces differ, so do our needs. And, Lord, we long that every need of the heart would be met in this place here today. Lord, if there's lust, if there's pride, if there's any vices that's holding, we pray that all these things would be snapped and that we would be gloriously set free. Thank you that the word of God tells us whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Father, bless us as we read your word. Minister to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to tell you, my husband said to thank you for your prayers. He had a mighty blessed meeting last night where the power of God was so real and so evident. He said there was a lot of needy folk in. There was one woman, she wept in an uncontrollable state. She just could not stop weeping. And he said that God's moving and God's working. And he says, Esther, God's going to do something mighty. And he says, but I really want to know how yous are doing over there. And he said, I know that his heart's here with us and he'd love to be here. And he sends his greetings and he just, you saw him on the screen yesterday. Oh, I tell you, I could have went up and hugged him. So they were saying up there, they were going to show a wee clip and I was shouting at Stephen, I don't think he heard me. I says, shoot, Trevor, give me a wee fix. Let me see him once again. But he didn't put him up for me. But anyway, he's in my heart. So we're reading from Mark chapter 14. I was looking around at the little text, teaches to pray, and this one says, praying always. And next year, they're going to have one there that's going to say, watch and pray. Because that's what we're going to look at here this morning, watch and pray. And we're reading from Mark 14 and verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here. I'm going to move this down a wee bit. Harold said my fur would affect it. Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he talked with him, Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and he findeth them sleeping. And he said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and he prayed and he spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now. And take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. We just end reading God's word there. And we know that the public reading of God's word will always be blessed by the Lord. Friends, watch and pray. The word watch means be alert. In this case, be alert as you pray. Stay at one's best. Stay awake. Keep your spiritual eyes open. For truly we must acknowledge as we look around our land that the enemy is near. I wondered in our sweet hour of prayer, how many slept? Or did you take full advantage of the hour that was given to us? I can't help but think in my heart there was those who slept. Friends, we have before us the invitation to watch and pray. And this invitation comes to us on the authority of God's word. God's word contains no untruth. And if you're lacking assurance in this place, you stand on God's word. If God says, I will save, he means I will save. If he says, I will answer, he means I will answer. God's word contains no untruth. And friends, it is given to us for our use and for our benefit. Watch and Pray has its beginning in Bible history. When Nehemiah was building the walls and the gates of Jerusalem, we read, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. This invitation comes on the authority of God's word. It also comes to us by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He often drew apart from the crowd to pray and to be alone with God. You know, it warms my heart as I look out across this great campus and you saw ladies, individuals all over the place just having little times with the Lord. It also comes to us not just on the authority of God's word, not just by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also comes to us by the discipline of the early church. The early church thought nothing of prolonged times of prayer. Oh, how far the church has drifted today. These three very important facts concerning prayer, they've drifted far from it. And I can't help but wonder, is the condition of our land and society and world as a whole a reflection of our failing in these matters? The invitation to watch and pray concerns our spiritual condition. Now, as we read and as we look into the scriptures concerning these three words, watch and pray, we discover that the command is always and only issued to those who truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not now or ever given to unbelievers. The prayer that the Lord wants to hear from the lips of the unbeliever is, Father, forgive me. I turn from my sin and I invite you into my heart to be my Savior. And of any influence in the place of prayer, you must first of all be influenced by the person to whom we are praying to. And that's to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can be influenced by Jesus is if you're saved. Doesn't it thrill our hearts to hear about that lady that got saved last night? I wonder how many other ladies could tell us stories the same, only they haven't been brought up here to give the opportunity. Friends, if you've got saved during this prayer advance, you make sure Debbie and Harold knows it. They need to be encouraged. And they need to know that God is working. You know, you cannot pray in the manner which Jesus means us to pray unless you're born again. Would there still be somebody in our midst and they're not born again? You've never received Jesus into your heart and into your life. Well, can I exhort you to call upon the name of the Lord? Call and ye shall be saved. Seek, the scripture says, and ye shall find. Are ye seeking? And when you find the Lord, be careful to watch and pray. In Mark 13 and verse 33, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. He said, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. This speaks of the second coming of the Lord. And It concerns the spiritual well-being of all believers. We are to be constantly walking in fellowship with God. Oh, indeed, the spiritual temperature in our land is growing lukewarm. God's own people no longer seem to watch and pray. They've grown weary. Just like Jesus' own disciples, they fell asleep. You know, to the believer, praying should be as natural to us as breathing. And yet we neglect to watch and pray. Well, I know in Ireland, one of the famous prayers is, whenever you come into a prayer meeting, you hear it being prayed, Lord, we come into your presence. Do you use that statement here? Lord, we come into your presence. Yes? Well, I've got news for you. If you were continually to watch and pray, well, then you wouldn't need to come into his presence. Because, friends, you'd already be there. To watch and pray means you never leave his presence. Never. And if you always believe him to be present yet unseen, well, when he breaks through the clouds and he comes into view, it's because you no anxiety or no concern. Because you'll be able to behold him with confidence and with assurance and with delight and with the feeling of being perfectly at home in his presence. If you're in Christ, ladies, see to it that you obey him. Watch and pray. You know, when I was in Bible college, I can remember in one of the prayer meetings, one of the girls prayed. And her, she had a heart for God. A real heart for God. I was very surprised at the ladies' prayer advance that there was men present. I didn't expect to see men here. But this girl, when we were sitting in the dining room having our dinner, one of the men at the table tore her to shreds because of her prayer. Ladies, you watch and pray. And don't you let anybody blow out your candle. You burn bright for God. And you pray. And you seek God to come with mighty blessing. And friends, whenever Jesus returns, you don't want to be one person that'll be embarrassed or running and hiding. You don't want to be tongue-tied, but oh, that you might be able to welcome him with joy. Can I ask, ladies, what have you been doing in Christ's absence? Because he's coming again. And this question will need to be answered by every servant of the Lord upon his arrival. The date of his coming is concealed, but we're told to watch, be ready, be not ashamed. The word of God says in 1 John 2:28, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Friends, if Jesus were to appear at this very moment of time, would you have confidence that you have obeyed this command to watch and pray? The invitation to watch and pray reveals not only our spiritual condition, but it also reveals a solemn obligation. It's notable today of the increase in various groups campaigning for various things. Animals' rights, women's rights, Greenpeace. This is a green day, St. Patrick's Day. Sorry, I've no green on. Joel has, and our organist has, and there's a number in the congregation has. I want to tell you before I go any further, in the south of Ireland, right at this very, well, maybe not, we're 4 hours. Yes, right at this very moment of time, in a place called Crowpatrick. Who has heard of Crowpatrick? Yes. There are people climbing Crowpatrick on their bare knees with no shoes, trying to pay penance for their sins. That's the level that Patrick is in Ireland. So we make no great thing about it. There's floats going through the streets. There's bands playing. There's drink. There's partying, and you name it, and we have no part of it. That's why we're not in green today. We appreciate St. Patrick. He brought the word of God to Ireland. He brought Christianity to Ireland. He stood up against the Druids and all those individuals. And he faced death. And he was in slavery. But Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland. He preserved the books. And we thank God for him. But we don't make him into something that he wasn't. Our solemn obligation. Oh, there's people out there and they've got great obligations as they stand up for their particular interests, gay rights and such likes. But here the Lord issues a challenge which, might I stress, is not an optional extra, but it's actually our solemn obligation as believers to the spiritual welfare of our society and to those whom he has entrusted us to pray for. Our spiritual obligation, or our solemn obligation to the Lord, is to watch and pray. Oh, Christian sisters, may we weep, because God has given us a mighty weapon, and what do we do with it? God has given us power in prayer, yet that power lies still because we fail to avail ourselves of it. In everything else in life, we have a great plan. But when it comes to prayer, we have no plan and we have no strategy. Many of our prayers are afterthoughts. You imagine an archer, and he comes with his bow and he shoots at nothing. Harold does tell us great stories of the season of the deer and the season when he's out after the turkeys, and oh, we'd have some laughs when he starts imitating the turkey cry and you name it. See, we don't have anything like that in Ireland. We have deer, but we're not allowed to hunt them. Well, imagine Harold going out after the turkey, and he's got his equipment and he's aiming. Well, I tell you, he wants to hit that turkey or that deer. And friends, we need to wake up. We need to wake up from a neglected life of prayer. We need objects to aim at. And as we pray, friends, note that our prayers need to be thankful. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thankfulness. You know, thankfulness is important to successful praying. I remember one time, in not the church we're in at the minute, but our church before that, my husband got up and he says, right, we're going to spend the first 15 minutes thanking God. And the first person prayed and thanked God. And the second person started to pray. And after the first sentence, they were asking. They could hardly think of what to thank God for. Friends, if all we do is ask and never thank, well, then we're selfish. We're merely coming to God with our shopping list. Sincere gratitude to God is one of the best ways to put fervor into praying, let me tell you. There's so much to be thankful for. And if I asked you for ideas, I'm sure you could just name so much. Our home, our food, our clothing, our family, our friends. The very air that we breathe. There's not a morning that I have stepped outside of my door and took a wee peek around to see is Bob waiting on me. And he wasn't this morning. I was a wee bit disappointed. But he was shuffling all the other Irish ladies, I believe, around the place. And I breathe in that gorgeous air and I thank God. Not only ought our praying be thankful, but it ought to be purposeful. Colossians 4 and 3 says, praying also for us. Our prayers are often vague and general. God bless me, bless my family, bless my friends, bless the missionaries. And we use God as if he's a blessing machine. And is it any wonder, friends, we see no answers to our prayers? We need to ask for specific needs. Robert Law said, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but it's to get God's will done on earth. It's not telling God what to do or what to give, but it's asking God for that which he wants to give and do according to his will. Now, we know that it's God's will to save people, isn't that right? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And many times in our prayer times, we will pray, Lord, make the people willing to be saved. We say, God, please save Nancy, and please save Iris, a good Irish name, and please save John, and please save Patrick, and God longs to save them. Sometimes we need to ask that they would be made willing to be saved. We need to pray for specific people. We need to name them, plead for them, watch out for them. Their spiritual welfare depends on our prayers. Hands up, who's a Sunday school teacher? Oh, we have loads of Sunday school teachers here today. Don't just simply ask God to bless Johnny and bless Claire and bless Anne and bless Mary and bless Robert. Be direct in your pleadings and state your case before God. Name your children and express your wants and your wishes in words that are come natural to you. Speak plainly and directly. Make straight aims, ladies, at the object of your supplication. Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses prayed that the Lord would stay his hand from the people. Jesus prayed for others, giving us the ultimate example in his high priestly prayer in John 17, which is going to be your homework for tonight. You read it and study it. If we could only see the importance of our solemn obligation, then I believe we would be more readily engaged in this exercise of prayer. Take, for example, the disciples. Jesus invited them to watch and pray with him in Matthew 26, and yet he comes to them and we hear him saying, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? See how they failed. Not even 1 hour. Oh, they were tired. They were tired. But the Lord in his final hours, he desired their companionship, their partnership. He desired them to be in the place of prayer, and yet they slept. They slept. Christian friend, awake. Watch. Be alert. Look up once more. Confess to God that it's not his fault that souls aren't saved. Nor is it your pastor's fault. You love to blame the pastor for everything, don't you? That man who strives to be faithful week by week. But it's your fault, ladies. It's my fault. Because we've neglected the place of prayer. We have failed to watch and pray for even 1 hour. Oh, see your solemn obligation, dear one. And would you determine to amend your prayer life from this day forward? You're going to leave the prayer advance. You're leaving the security of this blanket that has been over us these days. And you're not going to have your wee prayer groups every night. You mightn't even have a husband who's interested in praying with you. But friends, whatever you do, you make sure that you come before the throne on a daily basis. Look no longer upon it as a drudgery or a duty, but look upon it as real power. A real pleasure to come before the throne on behalf of others. Because, friends, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessing. And if you watch and wrestle and strive with God in prayer, well, then and only then will the showers of blessing come upon our land. Dear friend of God, will you determine to watch and pray? The invitation to watch and pray requires a securing principle. The securing principle is our faith. You know, faith is the hand that grasps the promises of God. The scripture says men ought always to pray and cease not. I wonder what is it that causes you to cease from praying? Is it a lack of faith? Hebrews says without faith it's impossible to please God. You know, it's easier to believe or have faith when you see answers to your prayers, isn't it? But when God delays his answer, can we keep on trusting? Yes, friends. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We need at all times to exercise our faith. We need to believe that God can do it. And to believe this, friends, we must have an absolute faith in his existence. And we must have an absolute confidence in his precious word. Faith believes all that God says as being absolutely true, even though circumstances seem to be against its fulfillment. Scripture says he is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or even think. When we believe God can do it, we depend upon his power and trust in the fact that nothing is impossible with God. Friends, do you believe God can do it? Ask and ye shall receive. But the problem is many are asking amiss. You can ask God all you want to win the lottery. You shouldn't be doing the lottery. So God's not going to answer your prayer. You can ask God for riches and wealth, and oh God, I'd love them so I could give it to the missionaries. God wants you to use what you've already got. He wants you to give what you've already got. Just be careful that you're not asking amiss in your prayers. We need to at all times exercise our faith. We need to depend upon God to do it. Ask according to his will and he will do it. You see, that's the key. According to his will. Friends, there is little point in praying if our vision of God is too small. When we ourselves begin to seek a way to make the answer come to pass, well then, friends, we doubt God. Do you ever ask God for something as soon as you leave the prayer meeting, you get up and you start to try to see how you can make that prayer come to pass, how you can answer it for yourself? Ladies, I want to tell you, to doubt God is to call God a liar. To doubt God and his word is the opposite of depending on him. Because he says in Jeremiah 3:33, call on me and I will answer thee. Perhaps he won't answer in the way that you expected or in the way you wanted, but nonetheless he will answer. We need to accept our incapability to alter or to change the situation. And our frame of mind needs to be, if God doesn't do it, well then it'll be naught. It'll come to naught. There's many a one, oh, God spoke to me. God said, God gets blamed for an awful lot of things. You know that, don't you? We need at all times to exercise faith. We must expect that God will do it. And as Joanne said yesterday, I think it was yesterday anyway, we shouldn't be surprised when God does it. When our brother said yes, she was surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when God does it. But we're human and we do, don't we? If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, we can say to these mountains, be ye removed. Pray it and then expect God to do it. Amen. Jesus said, whatsoever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive it, and then ye shall have it. Amen. I can remember many, many years ago, my husband was conducting a series of meetings, and I always went alongside him to be his helpmate. And there was this man attended the meetings night after night after night, and he wasn't saved. You can remember the last night of the meeting, God clearly said to my heart in my prayer time, his name was Paul, Paul's going to get saved tonight. And I shared it with my husband, and we rejoiced in the great fact because we believed God. And the meeting started to fill up, and all the chairs started to fill up, and I knew Paul was very shy, so I got a chair and I got it in the very back of the hall. No, you can't sit there, that chair's got. We didn't have any reserved signs, that chair's got. I stood and I made sure I protected the chair. Well, the meeting was to start at 8 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock the people were still pouring in. The parents had to get their children onto their knees, and the younger adults were sitting in the window ledges, and what about that chair? No, you can't have that chair. And the next thing was, the younger adults started to sit all around the pulpit, around Trevor's feet. No, you can't have that chair. The meeting started. 10 minutes into the meeting, no, that chair's still there. You just stand on. And 15 minutes into the meeting, they were still standing and they were still eyeing up this chair. And the next thing was, the door opened and in walked Paul. Oh, Paul, here's a chair for you. I got him sitting down in the chair, and as Trevor preached and spoke and declared the glorious riches of Christ Jesus, I kept my beady eye on Paul. The next thing was, my husband made an appeal and his hand was the first one up. But you know, 15 minutes into that meeting, my heart could have got discouraged. He's not coming. But I believed God and I trusted him because he had said it to my heart. And ladies, we need to hold on to what we know God the Lord has said to us, not what's a figment of our imagination, because sometimes we can imagine God has said it because it's what we want. Let us exercise faith. Let us believe God can do it. Let us depend on God to do it. And let us expect that God will do it. Is that the attitude you're going to go through those doors this afternoon? Are you going to take that with you, and you are going to learn to trust God? You know, there's little point in praying if we don't believe anything will happen. Do we really believe that God hears and that God answers our prayers? Well, if we do, dear ladies, why is it we pray so little? And why is it in our Christian life we lack so much? Watch and pray. Prayer is perhaps the highest use of the gift of speech. But remember, there is no power in dull, listless praying. Real praying demands spiritual energy and alertness. You're in a battle. And when you come to the prayer, I marvel at people in the prayer meeting. That was a great prayer meeting. I really enjoyed it. A prayer meeting is a battle. When we are in a prayer meeting, we are doing battle against the enemy. And we are trying to claim ground that the enemy has stolen. And a prayer meeting, some people don't go to the prayer meeting because they don't enjoy the prayer meeting. A prayer meeting is not to be enjoyed. A prayer meeting is a battle where you do dealings with God. Amen. And praise God for the good prayer meetings that we do have and that we actually do enjoy. But don't go with the attitude, I'm going to enjoy it, or I'm not going because I don't enjoy it. Go with the attitude that you're going to do battle. Amen. And that you're going to hold on to God until you see things done. Friends, when you pray, desire an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One once said, if I pray not to the winds nor the waves, but to God. And if he does not hear me, I have lost my breath, I have gained nothing. But praise God, because not only does he hear, but ladies, he answers our prayers. Watch and pray. This is the secret victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. Oh, the devil hates even the very weakest saint upon his knees. We must live always on our guard. We need to keep our souls in a wakeful, lively state, prepared at any time for any difficulty, prepared at any time to meet our Master. Jesus invites us to watch and pray. In other words, he invites us to partake of communion with our Heavenly Father. We need to speak with the Lord daily. There's a little song that says, speak oft with the Lord. Speak daily with the Lord. Continually with the Lord. Keep a watchful eye open. And God forbid that any should sin by not praying one for the other. Ladies, we're at the final leg of this prayer advance. Maybe you don't say that statement. Final leg means we're at the end. And what a blessing we have had. It's been a real joy to us Irish ladies to be here amongst you. But very soon you're going to pack up and each one of us is going to go our own way. And you might ask, what then? Well, friends, I believe that we need to do as this passage of Scripture exhorts us. We need to watch and pray. And not just for a week or a fortnight, but for the rest of our days. Amen. And oh ladies, because of your prayers, this place could be filled with 600 ladies next year. And if the Lord has put a burden on your heart, and I'm sure there's ladies here and you have many burdens, you have family out of Christ, you have friends out of Christ, there's troubles within your church, you have a pastor that needs your prayers, there's many things you can be praying about. Hold onto the horns of the altar, and God, I will not let you go until you bless me. And when God makes you a blessing, well, you in turn will be a blessing to others. As you part from this place, there's many of you and you've had dealings with God in different areas, some salvation, some other areas. You've been blessed in different ways. But friends, I want you to leave this place with the greatest blessing that you can bring to this world. And that is that you will covet in your heart that you are going to watch and pray. Amen. I trust, friends, that God will use you. And that God will make you a mighty blessing. And that he'll raise you up to be a mighty woman of God. And that you'll be a tower of strength to your husband. And you'll be the means of his ministry being effective.